And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it's 8 p.m. in the Middle East. Today is May 11, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to have a treat, a beautiful, beautiful soul, a person that language is talent in Hebrew, and nature is his friend, best friend. And I thought that it will be really, really awesome to have him. He's from Israel. He used to speak on the radio for so long. For 20 years, he used to be running a nature show in Israel. And he can talk about it forever. And today, I got the honor to invite Yaron to the show. Yaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And as you said, I can talk forever, but after such compliments, I don't have to say any word at all. I can speak silently. Thank you very much.
No, I'm so happy you're here. Yaron, tell us about yourself. I know that you just finished to write a book, and I can't wait to read it. Tell us about, what's the name of your new book?
I call it in Hebrew a copycat. And it's dealing with the expressions in colloquial Hebrew involving names and terms from the world of biology and even wider. Anything I can find of expressions, some of them are not translatable, I would say. Some of them are. And also names of any vehicle or weapon or car or whatever that has a name of an animal or a biological entity.
That's nice. Give us an example. What I would like to hear, you know, I think in the military they use most of animal, right?
What did you say about most of animals? I didn't hear the beginning.
In the army, in the military, I know that they use tank names or they, you know, they call some arms as tigers whatever.
Exactly. Many examples like Crotal, which is in French. I took also names from other languages out of the English and Hebrew. So Crotal is the rattlesnake. Is a name of a missile, of a helicopter, and helicopter Alouette, which is in French, lark bird,
right.
And of course Viper, a name of a machine in one of the airplanes, and Komar, which is a Russian name of a kind of a battleship, which is in Russian. Mosquito, and also Mosquito itself, which is an aeroplane from World War II, and so on and so on, till I gathered over 1,600 names and terms from the worlds of the animals.
Unbelievable. I thought that there were also a lot of airplanes. I know the American helicopter, you know, used to have some, for some reason I got it in my head that there is some animal names. But do you think
you
represent the, also the character of the person?
You said helicopter. I forgot about helicopter Cobra. And Cobra, no need to explain what it is, the name of a snake.
Exactly.
And
so
by the way, Torpedo, which is not only torpedo that we know, but in Latin it was a name of a fish.
Right.
So, it's a Latin name. And very many examples, and I also spread to characters and professions. And some of my articles dealing with biological stuff. And together in the computer, it has about 420 pages. And in a book, it will be probably over 600 pages.
Amazing, amazing. What a great work, Yaron. We're so proud of you. And you know, talking to you for many hours, I realize how you can find the exact meaning in the translation of a word. You know, if I'm lost in words in Hebrew, you will find the exact translation from English to Hebrew, vice versa too. You know the English language really great.
I wish I could speak English like you.
You know, it's okay. It's a practice, but I have to get something over you. You know, after all, we have to have some. You know, it's not even Stephen James. Sometimes you get your stuff. You know, you're a very awesome individual. Now, listen, I wanted you to tell us about the story that was amazing to me, because we started to talk about, a few months ago about a situation in the Negev. The Negev is a very large, vast desert that many nomad Bedouin are, living there, and they move around with camels. Now, the situation happened that some of the camels wander more and more to the street, and the street, you know, were crossing their habitation. So many accidents happened with, you know, car got into camels. And some of the people, you know, the ignorant people, I must tell, you know, without making any names, they're saying, you know, we need to get rid of those camels. And I was talking to Yaron. I said, what do you mean, get it rid? No, tell us, Yaron, tell us the story. What happened when a street crossed the middle of a habitation of a camel?
Okay, Orly, I'll start talking. And only a small request, while I'm starting to talk, ask your technician to increase your voice, because it's very hard to me to hear you. So sometimes I have to guess what you are saying to me. And And now I'll start talking about a very common problem that also occurs in big countries with many animals, like United States and Canada and Australia, and every country with a lot of nature, which is car crash with animals. So many times we can hear, not only in Israel where I'm talking from, but also in America, Australia, or Canada, the drivers say afterwards, well, I don't know what happened. It was standing right on the margins of the road, eating peacefully, and exactly 20 meters, which is about 50, 60 feet, before I got it, it started crossing the road like crazy. I don't understand it. And each time you hear it again and again, I don't understand. I saw it from a quarter of a mile, and from less and less and less. And right when I was near it, it started moving or running. So I wanted to tell our good drivers that it's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence, because it is a process that, had the driver won't be closer and closer, the animal won't move. Now, what had happened? It happens this way. Each of the big grazing animals, either it is a wild animal like a buffalo in United States, or a cow wherever in the world, or a camel in Israel, or another animal in Australia, has the so-called herd instinct, which means as long as the things are peaceful, everybody, mothers, fathers, of course they don't consider themselves like this, but we define it like that. Ordinary members of the herd, and also the young ones, are standing peacefully eating grass. But when a car is closing the gap and coming closer and closer, then the animals become alert. Now, if in a very common situation but it happens very often. One of the herd, especially still a baby, a calf, is from the other side of the road. When the car is coming, the herd instinct becomes alert. So either the mother wants to cross the distance to the calf, or the other way around. They want to be together. So when the driver says, "I don't know what happened. It was so peaceful before, but when I came closer, they started to run one to one towards another." It is because he was closing the gap between himself in the car and those peaceful grazing animals. And
that's
there is nothing
exactly,
to do about
that's
it.
Amazing, because that's exactly the story. They're talking about the fact that a second before, you know, he was standing there, and then all of a sudden he jumped into the street just when they got the car arrived. And that's when you want to crack the other side, because he's afraid that somebody is going to take over the car or something, right?
Right. And there is another thing. Either they are domestic animals or wild animals, the nature or evolution or God prepared them to natural life in nature, but it doesn't include a good estimation of the velocity of the car coming close. Now, we know it also in the human species. When we are very young, especially, say, till the age of, I think, 13, sometimes they say till the age of 9, we don't appreciate, we don't really have a good estimation of the velocity. And this is sometimes you can see a boy or a girl crossing what seems to us like a crazy act, trying to cross a street and falling right under a car. It's because their capacity of measuring velocity and distance is still lacking a good experience. In animals, wow, it is almost for the most of their lives. Sometimes, you know, domestic or urban cat and dog, they develop by experience some kind of good capacity to measure more or less, because if they are wrong, they are dead, more or less their ability to cross the traffic. But those in the rural area don't have it, because they don't crash with so many cars most of the time, because most of the time they stand not on the edge of the road, but in the middle of some field. So when they see a car, they don't understand that what is now about 500 feet from them will be there in about 2 or 3 seconds, and they start to cross the road to unite with the herd, which what we said before, the herd instinct. And this is exactly where the impact occurs.
Amazing. You're on. This is actually a very, very important factor, because all over, you know, South Carolina, where I used to live, there were some deers crossing the road, and sure enough, they were knocking some cars' window down. Sometimes they got hurt really bad, and sometimes, you know, they got away with something. But the idea is, and I was thinking it with you before, and I want to repeat it just for the echo of it. You know, we need some sign on the road to state, you know, there is an animal. When you see an animal, you wait.
Slow down,
and see what is intention. Get the picture right. Once you realize if he's, you know, if he's between the road or else, you better wait a second than lose it in a second. So that's what we say in Israel. So,
yeah.
Yaron, this is This is the really a life-saving
yes.
advice that you give, and I thank you for that. And more of that, you know, tell me, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to say the best definition of to what velocity to slow down is not to a certain number, to 5 or 10 or 15 miles an hour. The best definition is to slow down to a speed in which you'll be able to stop whenever needed. And of course, it cannot be on 50, 60 or 80 miles. I would say between 5 to 20 miles. Of course, according to the conditions. If you see them closer, slow more. If they are farther from the road, slow less. But you, the driver, thanks God that you can make better calculation than the common beast. You'll have to think instead of the beast, instead of the, I say beast, I don't mean a monster, I mean a grazing animal.
Yeah, I know.
You can do,
I know.
Yes, because I know that in English sometimes beast is a monster, not only a grazing animal.
Then you married them.
Yeah, so do it. You can do it better than than a common animal because you can think, you can make a good calculation of your speed, the animal speed, and according to that, with the knowledge that you have, that the animal might decide to run any second, adjust your speed. That's the whole theory.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to go to get some music on for a second, but I want you to hang on with us for a few minutes because I want to talk to you about what's the devastation thing about the life, the skinning of live animals in China. We need to do something about it. And I know that there was so many legislation all around the globe to stop, trafficking with leather that is made from China, but I really, really want your opinion on this. So, Doug, let's go to get some music, and we'll be right back. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is BBS Radio. And we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. We are here with a dear friend of mine, Yaron. Yaron is, is a spokesperson for nature. He's an incredible, incredible linguist. Wrote a book about a copycat cat, and we were talking about so many things. And I wonder, Yaron, if we can talk about the animal trafficking. It's something that people put in the back of their mind now, but with this ugliness that we see all over with human treatment, this animal trafficking become a little too savage for our taste, and we need nature is calling too. So what do you think, Yaron?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know about I don't know very much about this issue. I think I'm not better than anyone else. But if you want my private opinion about it, sure, I'll be able to say something about it.
Yes, I know. Want
that. Okay. So, look, it is an economical branch, like most things dealing with creatures and animals. And if we essentially allow people to use skin of animals for anything, not just beautiful models on the shows or very fancy fur clothes and things like that, but also the shoes that we wear and the belts and very many practical things done from not only foxes or weasels, or baby seals, but many other things. Of course, this economical branch too must be very well inspected, regulated, if I say it, visualized from every angle, like anything in agriculture and animal growing, because the human experience shows that if something is not regulated and controlled, all the time the grower or the merchant tries to cut the corners to make it cheaper and cheaper. And cheaper and cheaper means
more. Let me give you some numbers just to get you into the real bits of this trade of illegal wildlife. It's about $19 billion annual business. That's the New York Times, according to the New York Times article. They're talking that it's ties to the Russian and the Islamic extremists. And it's the largest traffic, you know, after narcotic and, you know, there isn't much black market for many things. But this is huge. This is, that's why I guess it came to the surface right now, because in all this craziness and balagan of the world, we can all of a sudden, they run into, you know, trafficking of this illegal stuff. And many people try to stop them, but I guess that we're not successful because the voice is not really heard strongly enough. And when people are coming, you know, in the legislature trying to make a law, they come across, you know, the lobbyists who for some reason are very rich. Well, now with these numbers, I can understand why. And they take them to a little visit to some sort of human kind of, you know, store where they can sell that nothing wrong is done with the animals. So we need to put this some, you know, put the tone, you know, dial a little more, stronger voice for it. And I know you, that you care for animals so much, you will share it with me that we need to start pushing for animal, you know, trafficking. It's illegal. It's not right, it's not human, and we shouldn't allow it to happen around the world. It's, we need to have some sort of work together with all the countries. What do you think?
Yes, look, I think that the things are able to be solved in what we call the West. What should worry us is what is going, for example, in the Far East, in growing farms in China. China is not a completely open country, and because of the nature of the regime there, which has a very tight control on every aspect of the life, it also including what's done with animals, and not only for fur, but also, for example, to have organs or materials for the traditional Chinese medicine, for example, blubber of the black bear, or pieces of tiger, or of also other animals for the traditional Chinese medicine. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
And the problem is not only what they are doing in their own farms, but that the fact that the commerce in those artifacts is not banned, it encourages small hunters all over the Far East of Asia, from Indochina to Indonesia till New Guinea, to go to the jungle or the forest and to hunt more and more of those diminishing animals, for the commerce with their organs and products. This is also a very big problem.
Yeah, I know. You know, we're talking about animals here, but you know, we're gonna cross over and to talk about human trafficking at the end of the day, because you know, it's all a part of this incredible world that was created while everybody was asleep, and they start trafficking everything that their mind set to do, and we ending up with a world and a jungle, you know, a parallel world that we have that seems to be, you know, all right here, but in the other end, it's all, you know, they traffic human, they traffic animals, they burn you know, they burn animals alive to skin their, you know, the picture are horrifying. And that's why I wanted to talk about this. And I really thank you, Yaron, for coming abroad. You're a trooper.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
It's always great to talk to you because you're awesome insight on many issues. And I hope that you'll come again and talk to us because our listeners are from all over and, you know, they need to listen to you sometimes. It's really important. You're a great soul. Listen, Yaron, thank you so much for
coming. It was my pleasure. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you for coming abroad. God bless you. Take care. And let's get to a break now. And we are back, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth on BBS Radio today, May 11th. You know, May is an incredible month because for some reason, many things happen always on May. We have news, we have events, the weather is great, people are gathering, and they're working, promises are made for the spring, and I hope that when fall comes, after the summer, because summer they take off for vacation, obviously, falls come, they will keep their promises, like this one. We have the news from United Nations Secretary General and the Winner Prize, the Co-Winner Prize, Nobel Prize, Kalish Chatai, that they spoke about the World Education Forum, and they had a kickoff luncheon in Korea, the 19th to the 22nd of May, I guess that it's coming up. And more than 140 ministers from all around the world will sign the education program for agenda for the next 15 years. 15 years, they're going to have an agenda. Now, this is amazing. Think about it, that for the next 15 years, 140 ministers represent 140 countries will have a common agenda. Thank God, hallelujah. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful collaboration with UNESCO, with UNICEF, with United Nations Women, and the World Bank. Hey, maybe the World Bank can come to play this time, real big. And we're going to start teaching them. We're going to teach them, you know, we develop, the world is going to start moving. Remember what our beautiful teacher said, Bob Sulis, Professor Bob Sulis from South Carolina said that those children are incredible. The children that graduating this day, and I want to send all my best regards to all the graduates all around the globe, whoever study, please keep on studying because there is nothing they can take away from you on your study. You can have whatever you study in your life, you will have. No, nothing is lost, nothing can be taken, and it's all accumulate and multiply in your brain. You know, talking to people that didn't have a chance to learn, you realize how bad life can be for them. Because there are things, simple things, that in America they teach by seventh grade that people around the globe don't get it. And I sent to America once before, and I said all again and again, America is the richest country in the world, not because it's nice, not because it's, you know, it's great for population, of course it's great. The amount of education you put in your children is humongous, even though that they don't perform, it doesn't matter. You know, your everyday life is on a different level of education. When you go to whatever you do every day that you take for granted, it takes more education than you think. You just get it embedded in you. And what America can sell to the world is her education. Now think about it. You got a project of 15 years that is going to be in the United Nations. Who's going to lead it? Who is going to be the master of all the, you know, I see World Bank. I want to see, you know, I want to see people from America, director, you know, United Nations Women and Undersecretary General, you know, from whoever you get High Commission of Commission of Refugees, Executive Director, all names that coming from, no American names on this list, guys. Sad, you know, it's all 140 secretary ministers of education. I want to take part of it to help divide you know, not the pie, divide the knowledge. Who's going to contribute knowledge? Think about you having a 15-year project, America, the Minister of Education, the Secretary of Education, take advantage of this as the largest economic project that America can have for the next 15 years. It's a national duty to do that, because you can think you're going to have the bank, the World Bank, helping 140 countries that they are under, you know, undereducated, of course, and they will need your help in education. So we're talking about books, we're talking about records, we're talking about videos, we're talking about teachers, we're talking about engineers, we're going to talk about everything. It's gonna, you know, whatever is in free in knowledge right now needs to be taught to those people. And the program needs to be taken care of. So, by all means, this message is from 4 hours ago. I would like to assist in connecting the dots in Europe. The country I prefer to do businesses is, you know, of course, is Israel. Because in Israel, if you do something, you do it fast. You, of course, you don't have committees, but you actually have a connection to all those countries. And Israel is on the front of the way of technology that can help teach 140 countries, you know, with a technological program. So, of course, call me anytime. I'm here. I'm available. I'll be happy to help the world, the United Nations Secretary General, and the Nobel Peace Prize winner to help educate the world, program the education. You guys are going to educate us. You know, we need to organize the logistics and everything. They have so many members taking care of it. It's gonna cost us tons of money just to put it in motion, but we can do it. It's for 15 years. It's a big project, America. I want to talk to you about more about something else. So let's get some music, just a little. So we stop and then we're gonna go to what's going on in the rest of the world. All right? All right, and we are back, and this is really my favorite song. I love that movie. You know, those kind of movies, music and lyric, I guess that's the name, is something that really talks to us. It talks to us about, you know, the everyday artist that gets the opportunity to make it happen. And his message is so clear, it's so honest, and so beautiful. And together with other human being, another wonderful actress, you know, Hugh Grant and Barrymore, you know, what's her last name like? Please forgive me. I am a little, forget it. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about the music and lyric and say that she was fantastic. Music and lyric is was a great movie, and I really hope that we can see more of that kind. I would suggest that we have, for example, we have something about dancing, and not only. we want dancing, we want singing, we want everything that makes sense. And Drew Barrymore and Hugh Grant were wonderful. So I got her name. That's cool. Anyway, let's go back. I know that the Hollywood is gathering in Cannes today, tomorrow. They have the Cannes Festival, Film Festival, and I want to tell you something before we start going through the serious stuff again and again. I think that America needs to have, we have the Oscars, okay? California has the Oscars, incredible Oscars, but these Oscars are for the professional. It's like the major league. But what we're missing that, like, can bring the environment. It brings the you know, the beaches, there's something around it. It's all like a vacation, taking a vacation away to see the festival. And I was talking in South Carolina about having a film festival there in coordinates with the Cannes. Instead of going to Cannes, the Hollywood can come to South Carolina, where there are so many resorts, time class. You know, the new South is South Carolina, because whatever happens there, nobody can imagine. But they built up to a treasure of resorts, great hotel, great luxury of, you know, of lakes and boats and all the segments that can be a wonderful stage for a world-class film festival. I would love to see South Carolina making one. I talked to many one. Some of them are still in contact. I hope to talk to them live one day. But please, Hollywood, make it happen, because it's moneymaker, and you know, and I'm here to bring you, you know, good advantage of the world, that you can bring America back to her leadership position from the human part, not only through the mind. You know, because if you remember well, America loves, people love America for its spirit, for God we trust, for the incredible kindness that that we find. And the laughter, American laughter, is something that we cherish, and we hope that America will laugh again soon a lot. And none of the craziness that happens in the street is supposed to happen. And let's say it, grow up. Let's grow up. Let's get out of that mess. And I know this tried to copycat it in Israel, where there was a demonstration last week. And I'm telling you, whatever it is, everybody needs to grow up. And it's races and classes. It's upset because some people took all the money and ran away with it because, you know, everybody has no funds, and I don't know, they're all lacking. But I think that if we start generating some energy and work, we can create the world again. We did it before, we can do it again, right? So let's remember there is a God, and it's not us, and we can make it because this is our life. We out make it. So let's hear a part of some crisis that we need to take care of. Okay, the world needs to take care of it, if you like it or not, because if it's not taken care of, it's going to cost a lot of heartache, a lot of money is going to be wasted, and a lot of criminals are going to take advantage of the situation. So let's talk about the crisis in immigration. That will be something I want you to listen on.
The European Commission will make the controversial proposal that EU member countries should take in refugees under an EU quota scheme. The UN estimates that 60,000 people have already tried to cross the Mediterranean this year. Amnesty International disclosed that migrants are being driven to make the journey by horrific abuse in Libya. That's it on STV News at noon. Don't forget to watch these and other news broadcasts on our YouTube channel. Visit youtube.com/Silverbear Television. And do remember, subscribe to our channel when you visit.
Okay, that's a sweet guy. We're talking about a quantity. They're talking about 60,000 immigrants. Amnesty International talking about the devastation that they have to cross. People are crossing the land from Libya. They're throwing themselves in a little boat with the children, guys, children, little children, that some of them don't survive it. And they have 50-50 chance to survive the journey on those boats, and they take it because they don't want to be settled in the horrifying situation in Libya. And of course, they've been running away from devastation, and getting caught in Libya is not their best solution. And now the European Union decided to make a quota. Think about it. The German just said that they have 200,000 application for amnesty. Well, you know, we have to take it as it comes according to the level of, you know, acceptance and the level of economical strain that you have. If you are Germany, Belgium, you know, by all means, if you can, just get the quota on and go on. I know that France doesn't need it because it's going to take it off balance. There is a crisis there. So the EU doesn't say we just divide them between us. We have to consider whoever cannot afford them. Italy cannot afford them. She takes them in and then they transfer them because Italy doesn't have work for them. Even if they want, it doesn't, because economically they are not suitable to accommodate people from overseas. Let's talk about some more. We have Switzerland, of course, nobody is done. It's too little. We're going to go France, it's not. Germany needs to. Of course, Holland, Sweden. Sweden will love to have that, you know, that's so anti, you know, whatever. I'm sure they'll be fine there. Whatever it is, in EU is on the right track. Just let's get the move on it. Okay, and United Kingdom, whatever it is, we need to help and be the part of the solution. And I hope that the new hope that they have in England Trexel, the new trial, the new, for some reason, she seems to be the hope of the world because she's the new princess. And everybody loves Charlotte, Elizabeth, Diana, the new child of William. They just love her. I don't know why. She brings a lot of good feelings. God bless her. God bless her. God bless her to be a mighty, mighty, mighty queen one day. Or, you know, I don't know, in according to regulation or whatever. She's a princess, she's a princess. Anyway, let's go back to whatever we talk in immigration. We have to accommodate those children. We cannot throw them in the sea. And you know what? Get off. You're comfortable now. It's not a comfortable. We're talking about a world war. Yeah, this is the kind of world war that is taking place, but in different area, and we're all aware of that. So whatever comes into your place, it's yours to take care of. So just remember, and if we share together, education, awesome. But where's America? America needs to be the leader in that. We're talking about technology, of course. Let's do it. We're talking about, you know, health organization. We need to clean the environment. We have, for example, the radiation situation with the technology. I don't think people realize how much technology that we need has radiation, and this radiation. Sorry, it's an adjunct to the health. So if you put on a cigarette, please don't smoke, because we can tell you for sure that it's dangerous for your health. It's about time the legislator all across the world, the universe, will start putting a tag on those radiation machines. So let's get this radiation, and I want you to listen about the investigation of one. All right? Let's go to that.
What do smoke detectors, emergency lights, and nuclear power all have in common? Radiation. But what exactly is radiation? Thanks to high school science class, most of us have heard about radiation, but many of us may not know exactly what it is. I'm Julie, and I work for the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission. Simply put, radiation is the release of energy in the form of moving waves or streams of particles. This energy can be low-level, like microwaves and cell phones, or high-level, like X-rays or cosmic rays from outer space. These are known as non-ionizing and ionizing radiation. But if we really want to understand radiation, we need to go inside the tiny world of the atom. Remember that high school science class? Atoms are the microscopic building blocks of all matter in the universe. Everything around us is made up of atoms, from the largest galaxies to our own bodies. The center of the atom is called the nucleus. That's where the word nuclear comes from. There is a tremendous amount of energy inside. The nucleus of an atom is made up of two particles, protons, which carry a positive charge, and neutrons, which have no charge. Outside the nucleus are electrons, which carry a negative charge. The attraction of these negative electrons to the positive nucleus is what keeps the atom together. Now, every element in the periodic table has a specific number of protons and neutrons. But sometimes an atom will have too many or too few neutrons. When this happens, it becomes unstable or radioactive. An unstable atom is called a radioisotope. For example, two extra neutrons in a hydrogen atom creates the radioisotope tritium. That's the stuff that helps make exit lights glow in the dark. Radioactive atoms want to become stable again, so they release energy until they get back to a balanced state. This process is known as radioactive decay, and there are three main types: alpha, beta, and gamma. Alpha particles are heavy and travel small distances. Beta particles are lighter and travel further. And gamma radiation is actually a wave, and it travels the farthest of all. The time it takes for half of the radioactive atoms of a radioisotope to decay is called a half-life. Half-lives can range from a fraction of a second to billions of years. Let me give you an example of how half-lives come into play in nuclear medicine. Doctors inject patients with the radioisotope technetium-99m which emits gamma radiation. A gamma camera can then take pictures of the patient's insides to help with the diagnosis. The relatively short half-life of 6 hours for this radioisotope makes it ideal for these types of tests. Let's pretend these jelly beans are the nuclei of Tech-99m. After one half-life, half the atoms still in the body remain unstable or radioactive. After two half-lives, one quarter of the atoms remain radioactive. After three half-lives, well, you get the idea. After 24 hours, almost all the radioactivity is gone, thanks to radioactive decay and the body's natural, shall we say, processing? And that ends our science class on radiation. Congratulations, you passed. Now for the bonus question. Can you tell me who keeps an eye on the nuclear sector in Canada? That would be us, the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission. We regulate the use of nuclear substances and materials and ensure that all nuclear materials are used for peaceful purposes. We also work to protect your health and safety, as well as that of the environment. The Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission, the answers you need from a source you can trust. Visit us at nuclearsafety.gc.ca on YouTube or Facebook.
All right, and we are back, and we are grateful for Canada for this commission that helped us understand about radiation. Now, if they help us also do the extra work and start determining the reliability of anybody who sells technology, and we're talking big, big liability. All those brain tumors that people find themselves in with the radiation of the telephone companies, you know, those telephones just radiate from your, you know, into your ear, just fry your brain away, and people say, oh, it's not proven. Trust me, it's been proven. They say that there are so many, many brain tumors because of this, and people are sleeping with them. Get the computer all around. We are radiation. You know, our radiation is all around us. I bet when you walk, you're probably carrying it on. Let's regulate that, because if not, we're going to have a lot of sick people in a few years. And those children are really, really important to us all. So I really want to say that we need to legislate something about it, and humanity is not for sale. Human life is not so fragile. We're not allowed to treat it so casually. And, you know, all those talks about, you know, freedom and everything, remember, we're fragile. We're fragile as human beings. Everything, you know, everything can go in a second. And God only is eternal, and we need to protect, to preserve the world we live in, the workplace that we work in, and the family that we hold. We need to keep them safe and, you know, surrounded with love and happiness if we want to have. And I know that there is a few organizations right now that working about, you know, to help the world and bring together some great thinker of history to inspire this new plan. Saving Lives Project is something that is talking about, they're talking about the gift to the humanity, that's United Nations News too. I think that it will be amazing. But let's go back and think about what's happening in the devastation of after the earthquake in Nepal. The earthquake that hit Nepal. We have the United Nations World Food Program that says you know, they have a lot of severe logistical challenges that they have. Are getting in the way of aid reaching hundreds of thousands of survivors in some of the country are the key areas. We're talking about a lot of people. People of Nepal are resilient, but they have they can't expect families to be living in the rubble of their home. So they need food. They already distribute food for 300,000 people, and they bring in more helicopters to engage multiple fleets in small trucks to get supplies to the hard-hit rural area. But we have volunteers that work. The World Food Program appealed for $116.5 million to provide food for 1.4 million people over the next 3 months. Guys, after magnitude 7.8 hit on April 25th, think what condition you live in. Think about the rubble. Think about the dead people. Think about what's going on there. Let's have a massive movement to help those people. Let's remember that we are human. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. They are in need, and if anybody can do something to help, please do. We are the world that needs to come together. And it's about time we start prepping, turn the page in this mystery craziness and be the time of grace. You know, after crisis always come the grace, for we love each other and help each other. And this is it. This is Orly Benny Davidson. This is the Impossible Truth. Let's get to get some music done. All right. We are back, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is the Impossible Truth. And, you know, somebody who listened to me before or knows me a little knows that I have a straight line procedure. I really analyze the facts, I measure it, I think about it, I love any process, and then I give my opinion, but it's true opinion to me and to the heart of it. And we have heard just now Ronald Reagan, God bless his soul, amazing leader that really has in his heart the right for the people of the world. And he was a great leader for America, brought us a lot of honor and respect all over the globe. And I'm thinking, he was mentioning something very funny. You know, we have a peace accord with Egypt. Everything was good. Let's talk about Palestinian autonomy, 1982. And I'm thinking, it's 33 years away, and we're talking about the Palestinian autonomy. There is a problem, right, guys? 30 years, it means that the world is not stupid. But it's silly to think that, you know, organized group just sucks the money, funds some with a cause that they never do. It's like, oh, mommy, I want to make a project. Oh, daddy, I want to make a project. I promise you, this project will be working. We'll create something. It will cost me money. I'll take the funds and I go play, do whatever I want. They come back and say, hey, mom, I really need that project. This project is by definition of the world. Give me money. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. How much money you invested? How much time? How much leverage? How much everything you guys gave to the world in order for the name of peace? For this group to have autonomy. Do you think they want autonomy? I don't think so. 33 years? No, darling. There is no leadership. There is no organized. They just want your funds and to suck the life out of everything. And you know what? They look at Tel Aviv. They want Tel Aviv. They look at Jerusalem. Oh, they want Jerusalem. They look at Washington. Wow. What do you think if they just want Washington? They want nothing. They want just to destroy whatever Israel is in the name of, kill the Jews, and that's it. Now, let's say it. And I told, you know, there is a group, a wonderful group that wants to work together for peace in the world and, you know, talk about humanity, wants to be a part of it, same Let's do peace. And I said, just say the magic sentence. I accept the Jewish state, because the Jewish state is to recognize the God of Israel. Now, you guys understand, you have the right to recognize whoever God you believe in. It's your right, whatever. I and my people in Israel and around the world worship God of Israel. This is our God. This is who we are. Now, you guys have to accept that we have our God. Our life is devoted to the God of Israel. Now, you guys have to secure the right of everybody to worship whoever they want. And what's wrong with, you know, worshiping God of Israel? He's wonderful. We created such a world for us that the humanity of the world really gave us a lot of challenges. But our message, the message that we bring with the Bible, the message that we carry is enormous. It's the preserve. Why? What the world wants, and that is against the biblical representation of the gods of Israel. I'm appalled by the idea that I still have to ask such a permission. And by all means, they are holding hostage the Temple Mount. And you guys are giving it to them against all love. Why? This is just two temples were there. No, it's something like Temple of Solomon. King Solomon was huge. He reigned all over, you know, the Middle East with a lot of businesses. He was a great leader to the world. You know, sometimes you get a Jewish leader. So what? What's wrong with that? I'm still thinking that you guys have to understand that for some reason God has a choice, and He chose to give us different opinions. And that's our creation. What can I do? You know, He created all kinds of people. You know, short, tall, beautiful. But you have a problem with tall or short people? No. So what do you care for black and white? Or what do you care about religion? What does it really freaking matter? We are people. Trust me. If you are alien, I don't know if I play with you, okay? Aliens. People that look like aliens sometimes scares me, you know? I can accept that. I'm sorry, I accept that, because this is a world, you know, people come from an outer world. Ah, come on. Really, seriously. We are the world, and we are going to have fun. This is a page, a new page in history where we get along. You know why? Because we would try it. We never tried it. We never got along. And you guys took all the money. Please, redistribution again of wealth. Give us some relaxation from the bank. Push the bank to give some people some relaxation. It's about time. This imprisoner of quotas of demands, like they're holding the world's money, which we all work for, and then they do us a favor that they give it to us back. It's a circulation. They have to give it back. I ran into a new friend of mine on Facebook, and I wanted to share this because it's incredible. It's incredible because it's so sweet and it's so lovely. And it's May 11, and she decided to write it off. It's Kenan Adaveri. Trust me, I don't know where they come from, but I bless them because with their big hearts, they wrote this. In your eyes, I saw love. In your eyes, I found myself. In your eyes, I saw motherhood. In your eyes, I saw compassion. In your eyes, I saw mercy. In your eyes, I saw forgiveness. In your eyes, I saw justice. In your eyes, I saw myself. In your eyes, I am loved. In your eyes, I saw a woman that made me feel all secure and loved. In your eyes, I found my home. Kenan, 11/5/2015. Well, Kenan, I hope that your woman deserve, you know, is what it is. She's wonderful. She sounds wonderful, and is writing back right now, and it is on. I'm writing to him. It is honor for me that you will read it on BBS radio show. This is a part of a book I'm writing entitled The Miracle Gene. Anything with my name and date is an original composed by me for the book, but please feel free to use it. And this is my pleasure. Ah, God, this night, this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful poem. You see? More poetry, more love, more jingle. Give our life and more doggy dogs that actually our best friends with us too, because we need animals in our lives to share and give them blessings. And I'm thankful. I am really, really thankful for every poetry that I can read that represents love and happiness and justice and God. Thank God for this world. You see, this is where the environment becomes so beautiful when you start, you know, embracing the world and understanding that you can create a different atmosphere of love and happiness. And if you dance, and you know, dancing is an art. Dancing is something that, you know, it's my best kept secret. Nobody knows that I dance. I'm telling you because I am your friend, and this is God's area. And I love to dance, but my dance is like a, you know, soft music of my soul that I write to the universe every time I can put my beautiful, beautiful melodies on to represent the glory of the universe and to talk about how thankful we are to be exist. And yes, we have challenges, but if God will give us the mercy and the grace and the love, and will give us all together the happy life that we can have. He writes to us, Kenan Harvey, it's an homage, a poem to all the women in the world. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. I can say that. I'm so honored to have this communication now. You see, people of the world, please share. Now, there are so many places in the world that we can reach with this program, and I hope that everybody who listens to it is loved, at least in my show, is loved, is cared for, and is blessed, because we bless everybody, all our friends, with happiness and life. Long life with health and really secure and safety. And really, we want to get, you know, page history, turn this page of history. And as Ronald Reagan said, we need to follow the people and the things that lead us to peace. Remember, the people, the road is important. There is no road of destruction that will lead to peace. There is no law that destroys people that will lead to justice. There is no love that comes with harm. There is no caring that gets with patience. There is no, many things in this world needs to be addressed. And our attitudes are first. Let's get our act together, people. Let's get our act together, not because, you know, we're telling each other things or we're commanding. It's because, come on, let's do it. All right? You're listening to Orly Benny David. It's the BBH radio, the possible truth. There are people all over the globe that are listening sometimes, and I want to wish them happiness. There are people that come across and go into the forest looking for God's words. I hope they find it. I hope that the journey back home will find the wonder and happiness. And I hope that they are safe and, you know, and happy. Let's go back to something that we need to ponder upon is our representation for the next election of president of the United States. Because it's the leader of the free world, and we want to think about it. I know that there are so many in the play, and I know that one did not announce yet. His name is Jeb Bush. Of course, he is the son of Mr. Bush, George Bush. And we need to have and the brother of George Walker, too, right? Bush. We need to ponder how good of a leader he is. But sure enough, he got the education of that, and he got the walk in that. It's got to be easier for him, given that the world is in chaos. So let's listen to this, and after that, we'll talk about it.
These are the principles I believe will be critical to put America back on the path of firm global leadership. First, America can't be a force for peace and security in the world if our economy doesn't grow over the long haul. Our aspiration should be 4% growth for as long as the eye can see. Imagine a country that would be growing at 4%. The middle would begin to see rising income. We would be significantly more optimistic about the future. Americans would think their children would have more opportunities again than what they had. The second principle that I believe in is that our words and actions must match so that the entire world knows that we say what we mean and mean what we say. There should be no gap there. This administration talks, but the words fade. They draw red lines and then erase them. With grandiosity, they announce resets and then disengage. Hashtag campaigns replace actual diplomacy and engagement. Personal diplomacy and maturity is replaced by leaks and personal disparagement. The examples keep piling up. President Obama called ISIS the junior varsity 4 days after they took Fallujah and when they comprised a fighting force of more than 200,000 battle-tested men. President Obama dismissed Russia as merely a regional power 1 month after they fomented and participated actively in the violent takeover of eastern Ukraine. And his administration has lobbed leaks and personal insults to Prime Minister Netanyahu and his cabinet with incredible regularity. In all of these actions, we see a careless disregard to the long-term interests of America and the world. The third principle is that the president's word needs to be backed up by the greatest military force in the world. The fourth principle is an engaged America that needs to strengthen the alliances and relationships that foster security in the world. In the post-World War II era, we've relied on these alliances in ways that have been understated, perhaps, for the American people, but they have been a huge part of the reason why there has been a peaceful world where people have had a chance to rise up. And America, again, needs to lead, and we can't do it alone.
All right. We are back, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Let's see what he has to do. First of all, you know, we always say that it's impossible to understand what the leadership does from a different seat when you are not ruling. You can criticize all you want, but you cannot tell that, changing position is something that doesn't happen when the world is in crisis. Come on, the world is in crisis. So please don't criticize America. America has done everything in its power to get across control. But this went out of whack because of the economy collapse. And the economy usually is not in the end of the government, it's in the end of the power player of the economy. And when, you know, my goodness, when China decided to take over the world, we had to have a really, really, really incredible source of patience to understand what's going on. But we come across. Now, first of all, for the first time, we have reducing the interest rate. Or in China today, they reduced it from 6% to 5%, and they add they added on for some time now. Let's see what they're going to play with it. Then they decided to do there is a slow in China finally in the growth, and when he was talking, Mr. Bush was talking about having a little growth, and we need to 4% is awesome, but the idea is how we are going to create those engines. Growth and engine of growth is by giving projects that you can do. Now think about it, really, really simple. Remember all those channels of information that we had for China, how to get to China, to buy from China. Remember, you buy from China, you get all the way to the factory, you get all the way to the, you know, the end of the world to buy whatever, and they start manufacturing everything and they're shipping to us on those boats, and sure enough, they took over the economy of the world. And we are crying, you know, hey, what they're doing? But the truth of the matter is, we need to think about something else. We need to think about something else. We need to create a channel of information for them, whatever they need. Don't you think that once you get money, they become the new consumer of the world? If your marketing director don't realize that you got the best marketing stage in the world, well, call me, I'll tell you. I've been marketing most of my life, a lot of things, most of them delayed, I market ideas, not that it pays anything, but while, you know, working in the industry, marketing, region, houses, real estate, makes you understand when you have a good market. Now, the good market of China is this. They are in need of goods, things that they cannot buy, they cannot manufacture. Okay, let's say that they have boats that need to be upgraded. Nothing they can do about it. Those boats really bad. They're bad. We have in America the best boat manufacturing ever, I guess, or England, or whatever. Get organized, get a consortium, and start selling whatever the consumer in China needs. We need to have, you know, we need to sell to our friends, right? And let's sell them. So this is for the China part. And we have so much to tell you about what they need. I just will tell you something that really killed me. The fact that they buy pistachio, and it's really awesome. But I know that the best is are coming from Iran. So I hope, you know, they don't start consuming from that side of the moon. Now, anyway, let's talk about the next president of the United States of America. Mr. Jeb Bush is going to probably announce sometime soon because he's a really good candidate. I love Giuliani. I don't know why he ran out of that. But I guess it's not it. We need to wait and see. And whatever, I'm sure that John Kerry is going to jump in too, because he needs to. Why not? He actually is one of the few that has the grasp of what's going on, because they've been working day and night. And I saw a quote today that said, weren't day and night like the enemy or the competition that takes, you know, try to take over your work? Yeah, we need to start working day and night. That's what it is. I love to be a part of this world when we start getting along. That would be incredible. I'm thinking about it. South Carolina, we learned a lot of things. But one thing is for sure, we remember each other. Remember how we love to be around nature, how we respect nature, how we respect love and godliness. Thank God for that. In the South, I learned, about God so much that I can only rest my eyes and say hallelujah all the time, because there is a God after all, and He's watching, and whatever we manufacture here in the world is not really a great thing now. We look around, we ruin the ozone layer, we're manufacturing, contaminate the oceans, the earth is, shaking, the typhoons are running, the hurricanes are endangering areas, rain, snow. We need to get going. All right, guys, let's get some music on and we'll be right back. All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is Impossible Truth. We talked about many things now, and we accommodate the idea that life is grand, and we need to take charge of it. There are so many things that need to happen, and I always welcome comments. And there is Mark Twain, right, verses that says, the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you will find out why. Mark Twain. Yeah, let's find out why this world is for us. And it has to be from the perspective of a global understanding, and not, individual, whoever you are, love me, I love you, and that's it, all the rest can go. Well, no, everything is connected. Whatever we have is wonderful. So we're praying together to heal all the people that are in need, sickness, and need to mercy. And I hope for God to give you blessing and to give you joy and to protect you wherever you go. And may God give you what you need with kindness, and you can treasure beautiful moments in your life. Remember, your life is in this moment. Make it happen. Make it beautiful. Make it glorious. You deserve it. You are here for that. That moment that you realize why you are here, yeah, it's make yourself who you are. We love you, and with hug and happiness, I want to salute you all. God bless you all. God bless this universe. This is Orly Benny Davis, and I'm from the Holy Land. This is from the Holy Land, guys, Israel. So I send you all my blessing again and again and again. Really, Benny Davis, the impossible truth, and we are closing today's show. It was long, but it was worth it. God bless you all.